a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I now call the House Commerce and Energy Committee to order. I would like to welcome those visiting us today here in the committee room, as well as those listening on the Internet. As a reminder, please check your cell phones and other electronic devices. Make sure that they are in the silent mode. And with that, I would ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Fargin, Greenfield,
here.
Holly,
here.
Hubble,
here.
Jensen, Jones,
here.
Kirschman,
here.
Miller,
here.
Nostrup,
here.
Scott,
here.
Willardson,
here.
Consett,
here.
And Solem,
here.
We have a quorum, Chairman.
We have a quorum, and I'm certain you've all had the opportunity to review the minutes, and I would entertain a motion. The motion to approve the minutes by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Consett. All in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes have been approved. I'd like to welcome our pages here today. Thanks for your help. If you'd like to come up and introduce yourself and tell us who you are and where you're from.
Is it on?
Yes.
I'm Caitlin Hickey, and I'm from Sioux Falls.
Thank you.
I'm Tabitha Siemens, and I'm from Brandon.
Welcome, Tabitha. And should any of those wishing to testify have any handouts or anything they'd like to pass out to the committee, make sure that our pages get that and they will make distribution. Also remind those that are testifying to sign in the clipboard in the back of the room and on the podium. And also a reminder that all questions to and from the committee to those testifying will be handled through the chair. With that, I would offer Representative Willardson a personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My folks have come to the Capitol to visit, so please welcome my mom and dad, Paul and Donna Willardson.
Welcome to our committee. Do we have any other visitors that we would like to introduce? Seeing none, let's go to work. Our first item of business, and by the way, just for everyone's information, we will handle the bills in order on the agenda, with the exception of Senate Bill 103, and I've been asked to move Senate Bill 103 to a week from today. That would be Wednesday, February 22nd, I believe. There were some issues getting people in to testify for that particular bill, so we will handle that on our first committee meeting next week. So with that, we only have then three bills to hear today, and we will start with Senate Bill 65. Senate Bill 65 is an act to revise the list of products offered by to consumers by motor vehicle dealers and sales finance companies. And with that, I will hear proponent testimony to Senate Bill 65. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Roger Hunt, State Representative from District 10, Brandon, Minnehaha, and Lincoln Counties. Automobile dealers are continually searching for new products to offer that will better serve the needs of their customers. Senate Bill 65 is simply a piece of cleanup legislation that addresses a new product called Secure Pay Plus, which works as a supplement to credit insurance and allows coverage for customers that choose not to take the full coverage options of insurance. When this product was introduced in South Dakota, dealers found that only financial licensed institutions licensed under the Money Lending Licensing Act were allowed to offer this particular product. In other words, only the banks and credit unions that typically handle auto loans were allowed to offer this product. Senate Bill 65 simply corrects this conflict with insurance law and the Money Lending Licensing Act and allows the auto manufacturer captive finance companies such as Toyota Credit, Ford Motor Credit, and Alley to offer this product. I'd like to have Myron Rao, who is with the South Dakota Automobile Dealers Association, follow me as a proponent, and he'll further explain the real details to you. I'd appreciate a favorable vote on Senate Bill 65, and I do have to go to another committee, but Senator Rumpelberger will be here. And he and Mr. Rao, I'm sure, will be able to answer any of your questions, if that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
I certainly understand, Representative Hunt. So please, I know you've got another committee waiting for your guidance and direction as well. So
thank you.
You bet. And with that, I will hear further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 65. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Commerce and Energy Committee. I'm Myron Rao, President and Registered Lobbyist for the South Dakota Automobile Dealers Association. And I thank Representative Hunt for bringing this bill for your consideration. As he indicated, it's really just a cleanup thing that really has no effect on anybody but auto dealerships and only new car dealerships. The best way to describe the product is the Secure Pay Plus product is to compare it to credit life insurance. Credit life insurance is something that I, at my age, would buy because I realize that I'm going to die. It's people that are under 40, and that's my classification, that think they may not die, but they know they may get injured, and they know they may be involuntarily unemployed. And that's the void that this product fills. So we think it's going to be a very good product to offer. Problem is, and it's already being sold in dealerships. And again, to describe it, I have to take you to the back office of a car dealership where we take you after you've decided to buy this shiny new car, and we try to do the paperwork in the back room, and we have a menu system we use that offers all of the products, whether that's tire protectant or paint protectant or whatever it may be. This is another thing on the list. Now, under the Platinum plan or the top plan would be credit life insurance. That's, we would offer that to every customer. It's priced differently because we're going to pay off the car in the case of death. This product, like I say, brings a little bit different twist. And it's an involuntary unemployment, accidental death, and then also accidental injury that takes you away from your employment. So today, if we offer the product, and we're trying to write the paper, because we write the paper, somebody buys the contract from us. Today, if we sell, if we write it up, and then Representative Solem says, oh, I'd like that Secure Pay Plus product, and I've been trying to vet the paper with Ally, which used to be GMAC, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, we'll have to then go to Wells Fargo or Bank West or whatever it may be, because they can't buy that paper. That's the glitch in the law. It allows the captives to buy that paper, is what we're trying to fix. It is that simple. There was a small amendment that I want to point out in the Senate Commerce and Energy Committee, and it was only language. We found a couple of problems with the language and just tweaked that a bit. It was not anything big other than a friendly amendment. I believe that should cover it. I represent 160 dealer members that represent the South Dakota Automobile Dealers Association, and we would ask a favorable vote on this bill, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe. Any additional proponents to Senate Bill 65? Good morning,
Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Good morning, members of the committee. Bruce Rampelberg, Senate District 30. I wanted to just a couple thoughts. One of the concerns that we had on the Senate side was who will actually be providing oversight of the product. The product will actually come out of help me out, Myron, Omaha. Central States of Omaha, excuse me, thank you. They actually, because they're an insurance company, this is a, in fact, most of the creditors group life insurance is purchased from Central States of Omaha. This is another product that they provide. They are under the scrutiny of their insurance regulators, if you will. When banks sell this product, they're under the scrutiny of whomever their regulator might be, whether it's the Federal Reserve Bank or the Comptroller of the Currency or whatever. When the captive finance companies, which is what Myron mentioned here, this will enable them. They're under the scrutiny of SEC and other organizations as well because of the size of their organization. So the product itself and the people that offer it are going to be audited, and this product will be part of that audit. And so I really believe that we can rest assured that it's not going to be a rogue product of some sort that we're fousting upon the citizens of South Dakota. So I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any additional proponent testimony to Senate Bill 65? Proponents. Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 65? Opponent testimony. For our listeners online, we have a wonderful group of students here with us, and I was hoping some of them may be some debate students that would like to maybe get into this process here a little bit. But we welcome you to our committee room. Seeing no other public testimony, I'll close that portion of the hearing and open it up for committee questions. Committee questions. Representative Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rao, just a quick question here. You refer to a product by name and to a company by name, but the way I read this, if somebody else develops a similar product, this allows them to market it too. It's just not aimed for just the one company to market, correct?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Rowe.
That is correct.
Okay. I just wanted to verify that.
Okay. Any other further questions? Seeing no further questions, I will open it up now for committee discussion and or action. Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move due pass for Senate Bill 65.
The motion do pass on Senate Bill 65 by Representative Willardson, seconded by Representative Kirschman. Any comments, Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think this bill will solve a glitch in the system that will help make this more consumer friendly for people buying cars in South Dakota. And I would urge your green light and go ahead and pass the bill.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing no further comments, the motion at hand is due pass on Senate Bill 65. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubbell.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solo.
Aye.
We had 13 yeas.
Having received a majority of the vote of the members-elect, Senate Bill 65 passes. The motion has been to move consent on Senate Bill 65 by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Nostrup. All in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Senate Bill 65 will not be on our consent calendar. Thank you. Representative Willardson.
The reason I oppose is I think this is a little bit of a new concept, and I think we owe it to the proponents to be able to, give a description on the House floor.
Very good. Duly noted. Let's see. Well, Representative Hunt will take that to the floor. Representative Hawley, would you take this to your caucus, please? Thank you. Next item on our agenda is Senate Bill 87. Senate Bill 87 is an act to allow military spouses to receive unemployment compensation if they leave their jobs due to a spouse's military transfer. And with that, I will open proponent testimony to Senate Bill 87. Good morning, Senator.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair. Morning, ladies and gentlemen, members of the House Commerce and Energy Committee. Well, this bill was brought before you last year as well. It did make it through this committee, and it failed on the House floor. It was in the form of Senate Bill 123 last year, if you want to go back and take a peek. Some of you might be interested in that. And I'll start my comments off with just saying nothing's changed except the data and statistics from the states that are being followed still support less than 1% impact, but I'll go into that in my briefing. Senate Bill 87 is a bill that would allow active duty military member spouses to file for unemployment under the good cause section of the unemployment statute. The bill itself is easy to understand in that it adds the spouse of an active duty military member under the sections, as you can see, along with the other current exceptions allowed under the good cause. The change very narrowly defines the circumstances in which this may occur, basically stating that when a military member receives military orders for a change of station, the spouse then becomes eligible for unemployment benefits if they should choose to file. Why add the military spouse to good cause? Other private sector spouses leave jobs all the time. Here are the differences. When you're an active duty military member, you don't have a choice to turn down a transfer. The military member is directed by military order. Failure to follow that order will most likely lead to another type of transfer, as I stated last year, that being a military prison. The military transfers by order have and will cause financial hardships, especially in the younger enlisted ranks of our fighting force, and especially where the military member's spouse has to work to make ends meet, not unlike the private sector. Again, the difference is the military order. An example is when two married workers in the private sector are working and one gets a transfer, they have the opportunity to weigh out the job opportunities and the pay of both of them before accepting a transfer, but it's a personal choice. That personal choice is not available to the military member or the spouse, which is why the Department of Defense is partnering with the states in working to fix this problem. Last year I came to you, 38 states had signed on. This year it's 39. And you can see by the map which shows which states are also considering legislation to change this. 39 states have adopted this measure, which is the number that has tripled since 2004, covering better than 83% of military spouses across the nation. I handed out that map just to show you that very thing. South Dakota, with its one active duty military base, which is Ellsworth Air Force Base, will have a minimal effect on the larger picture across the nation. But the impact on the few families that need this measure, especially young families, will be monumental. The negative effect on this bill on the unemployment trust fund for South Dakota is estimated at less than 1%. And it's a little bit, it's actually at 0.9% this year. Last year, I think it was 0.75. But again, they use statistical data from states that have enacted this with a larger presence, military components within their state. Ours is very small on the scale or in retrospect to some of these other states like the state of Washington and Florida. This percentage was arrived by tracking those states over a period of time. We should never forget the sacrifices made by our military member and the families during this time of continued active mobilization around the world in the war on terror. This only applies to the military order and the military transfer, or PCS, as some of you may be familiar with in military talk. Ellsworth, home of the premier B-1B, is no different. The economic impact of Ellsworth Air Force Base is well over $324 million to the state of South Dakota. While this is not directly related to this topic, it does show the importance of an active duty station to a small state like South Dakota. And it should be considered a small token of appreciation for our fighting force. Members of the House Commerce Committee, I hope you can once again support this bill as you did last year for the members of our military. Thank you very much, and I'll stand by for any questions, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Senator. Any additional proponents? Proponents to Senate Bill 87.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Kitty Kinsman. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Rapid City Area Chamber of Commerce, and I know all of you understand the role that the chamber businesses play in the employment of members of military families. We wholeheartedly support the work that Senator Haverly has done to bring this bill back to you, and thank you for your support, hopefully here and then on again on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents.
Mr. Chairman, good morning. Members of the committee, my name is Jasper Delores, and I am a registered lobbyist of the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce Industry. We would just like to add that we also support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional proponents? Additional proponents? I see we're holding back, Representative.
Yes, I got to get in line. Representative Justin Cronin, District 23. Just a couple, or one thing in particular that I think I would like to add as an employer myself. In today's world, it's interesting how you look at the workforce, especially in my small hometown. You have an interesting dynamic of people. You have people that are good workers, you have people that are mediocre, and you have people that aren't. But you deal with what you have to as a small business owner. One thing I would add to this is the quality of the people we're talking about, military spouses. They know what they have to do. They're a very proud group of people, and this is not something that they would turn to lightly. If they need this financial support to get their families set and in a new home or a new location, they're going to get that family set down, and then they're going to go back out and go to work because they're good quality people and they're proud. And I would just ask that you think about that when you're looking at this legislation. You know, nobody wants to have to do this, but sometimes it's needed, and I think that's probably the biggest point I'd like to make today. If I could have military spouses in Gettysburg working for me, I'd hire every one of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponents? Seeing no additional proponents, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 87? Opponent testimony. Seeing none, I would close the public portion of the hearing and open it up for committee questions. Any questions?
Yeah.
Representative Hawley?
Senator Haverly, I got a quick question. And this is a friendly question, okay, because I do support the bill. But you made the comment.
I'm glad you had prefaced that with a friendly question.
Yeah. But as the 0.9% effect on the unemployment trust fund was your comment. Does that mean that there's going to be a 0.9% cost increase to the employers because of it? I don't assume there's that correlation, but I need to ask the question.
Excellent question. No, under good cause, it does not have an effect on the employer rating, which means it essentially is a trust fund issue.
So it doesn't affect that individual employer, but all employers won't be assessed it.
If you took all the employers and you looked at the effect of all the employers of, say, one person filing for unemployment in the state of South Dakota, that's where the minimal effect, I guess, language would come about. When you're dealing with a state like Florida where they have multiple bases, and I don't know what their true military presence is. Ours is about 6,000, I guess, total impact of Ellsworth between spouses and active duty. In a state like Florida, you're probably talking about 30,000 to 40,000 people. And as they've tracked this, and I'll go ahead and hand this out. You received this last year as well. When they track these things in these larger states with these larger components, military components in them, that's how they come up with the assumption of what the effect is in other states. And we could actually make that an issue in South Dakota. I don't think it would be as monumental as looking at a base like, or a state like Florida, because our tracking would be, again, it would be on just one base. They want to see the total impact. So, yes, in answer to your question, no, it does not have an effect on employer rating. What it does have an effect on is the trust fund. And I think I stated that last year in testimony. I don't disagree that it'll have a negative effect, but it'll be minimal.
Follow up?
Just a quick comment. And these are historical numbers that you're basing it off of. And as our defense budget gets cut, the big cut they're looking at is the PCS moves. Instead of a three-year, they're looking at four- and five-year mm-hmm. PCS. So I would say this is probably liberal. If anything, it's going to be much less than that.
Excellent point. You're absolutely correct. And as we reach into the future, the federal government's going to continue to dwindle down our military force. And I'll hold my tongue on what I think of that. However, as that happens, you're going to see bases close around the United States. You're going to see less impact on this particular bill more and more because they are going to extend those, exactly what you said, extend those assignments out where people won't be moving as much. You could make an argument one way or the other for that, but you're absolutely correct. Great point.
Thank you, Senator. Any other questions? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to recall some of the discussion from last year, and I'm failing to do so. I guess I'm getting up there in my years. I know that last year we heard from the department and they were in opposition, and it seems to me there was a question about sending unemployment benefits to other states and what have you. I'm assuming that you have worked with the department because they're not here. They must have a relative level of confidence that this is in a shape that they can live with now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have three things that I'd like to answer to. First of all, you are getting older. I noticed it, and I just wanted to point that out, Representative. But you still look good. I just wanted to. The most important thing about the Department of Labor, and even in talks last year, they didn't come to opposition until they came into the House side. Their main concern, and I think this might help you with your question, was the situation with the trust fund at the time. Of course, we all know that the unemployment trust fund is in a much greater or much more stable platform right now. Revenues are up across the state. Everything's looking peachy. I don't want you to vote for this because of that. I want you to vote for this because it's a clause within the good cause. I want you to vote for it because you believe that, number one, that it'll have a minimal effect on South Dakota. Number two, that it's helping a young airman out there that I remember what they make, and many of them are actually considered, most of the airmen and young soldiers in the Army and Marines are considered on the poverty level lists. Okay? I'm not saying to vote for it for that. I'm saying to vote for it because the historical data shows that those people, similar to what Representative Crone stated, when they move to a military station, they don't sit on their haunches. They go out and get a job. Number one, because they're proud. They're proud. It's a different category of people. And they get out and they get that work and get that employment. And number two, the reason I did not say a word to unemployment. I think last year they felt that there wasn't enough data to support it, and I think this year they're feeling more comfortable with that data, saying it may have an effect, but what will the effect truly be? And our trust fund's in great shape. But great question. I think I got it all. I know I said a lot. But
thank you, Senator. Additional questions? Seeing no further questions, I would close that portion of the hearing and open it up for committee discussion or action. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move due pass for Senate Bill 87.
Okay, the motion at hand is due pass by Representative Wilson, seconded by Representative Jensen. Any comment, Representative?
Mr. Chair, I think the arguments have been made well. I think this is the right thing to do, and I'd urge you to send it to the floor.
Thank you, Representative. Any additional comments? Representative Farger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I voted against it last year. I guess I didn't check it out last year. I am going to support this today. I'm not sure about what I'm going to do on the floor, but I am going to support this today. I do like the arguments. Since the department did not come up here and testify against this, we are seeing improvements in the status of the state and where we're at. But I'm just going to hold everything else for the floor. But thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Anyone else? Seeing no further comments, the motion at hand is due pass on Senate Bill 87. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubbell. Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
We had 12 yeas, one excused.
Having received a majority of the vote of the members-elect, Senate Bill 87 passes. Thank you. And as noted, Senate Bill 103 will be heard next week. And with that, the chair is going to pass the gavel to my ultimately able vice chair, and I'm up in the hot seat.
Yes, you are. We will begin testimony on Senate Bill 115, an act to implement the regulation of insurance coverage for portable electronic devices. We will now hear proponent testimony on Senate Bill 115. Representative.
Madam Chair. Representative Roger Solem, District 5, Cottington County. And if you look at the bill, it's kind of a lengthy bill in text. However, Senate Bill 115 actually is a bill to provide insurance coverage for the many portable electronic devices that are becoming more and more popular. And you'll note a lot of you have, or most of you have, cell phones in some way, shape, or form, and those dealers have offered additional insurance coverage for those devices should you choose. Senate Bill 115 is attempting to expand that coverage to a large number of additional portable electronic devices, such as our laptops and iPads and our GPS devices and Kindles and video games, all of the portable electronics that we're able to pick up at a variety of our stores. These coverages available for this insurance protects not only against loss, theft, and damage, but also against mechanical failure and malfunction. Similar laws have been enacted in 24 other states, including our neighbor in Minnesota, as well as Missouri, Illinois, Nebraska, and pending in 5 others. And with that, I would step aside and allow more proponent testimony on Senate Bill 115, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 115.
Good morning, Madam Chair, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. My name is Dennis Duncan, and along with Mike Shaw and Drew Duncan, we are registered lobbyists for Assurion, which is a company located out of Tennessee, which is a third-party administrator of coverage that is going to be offered by Senate Bill 115, and quite frankly is currently offered in this state under what is called a limited lines exemption for insurance products. And a limited lines exemption would be similar to like travel insurance or rental car insurance that many of you may have used at points in your life if you've rented a car, whether on business or pleasure travel, or you've obtained a travel insurance to cover the cost of a trip that you might have booked with a travel agent. Senate Bill 115, as Representative Solem has very ably described, provides for a regulatory framework tailored to insurance protection for portable electronic devices. And those portable electronic devices are defined on the first page, starting at line 10, subsection 4. And those types of portable electronic devices probably most commonly are cell phones, iPads, but there are other types of electronic devices that many of us have in our homes or our businesses. And what we're doing here today is trying to bring, as I've indicated, an existing coverage that's being offered in different forms to people under a regulatory purview or overview by the Division of Insurance here in the state of South Dakota. I'd like to, first of all, compliment the Division of Insurance and also talk about the participation of the Division of Insurance in the drafting and the presentation of this particular bill to the legislature. When Mr. Shaw and myself were retained as lobbyists for Asurion on this legislation, we went to the Division of Insurance in early December and spoke with them about this coverage and had a series of meetings with them in which there was quite a bit of staff interplay on this bill with respect to cleaning it up so that it fit within the regulatory framework that is customary or regularly used in the state of South Dakota. And the Division of Insurance, they may be here to testify here on this bill today, but I'm authorized by Randy Moses to say that they are supportive of this regulatory framework we've put together on this particular bill. This bill will provide for the coverage when someone goes in and buys one of these electronic devices, and it will be sold through vendors who are, as many of you know, the Verizon or the AT&T stores or Best Buy, where you might buy a cell phone or some other electronic device. And they're authorized employees, and I think that's a key factor in this legislation. Their authorized employees would be able to offer this insurance coverage for the electronic devices that you might purchase. These authorized employees would be ones that are designated by the location and would be shown by the vendors to be persons that are not only employees, but employees who have been trained in the use of this, the sale of this product. There's a section in the bill that that requires that training be provided to these employees, and also that these employees offer to the consumer certain consumer materials that would provide to them an understanding and background with respect to this insurance coverage that's offered for their particular electronic device. I've hit on this issue of the bill that does require that consumer materials be available at all these locations, and I think that consumer materials issue is very important in this legislation in that it requires these vendors and their employees to make materials available to the consumer so that the consumer understands what this coverage is all about. And not unlike any other insurance coverage, it's important for the consuming public to really understand the scope and the breadth of the insurance coverage that they have, so that if for no other reason, and this is covered by this bill, if for no other reason they understand that they're not buying coverage that is duplicated by coverage that they already have. For example, One of the provisions of this bill, which is contained in Section 7, is the development of training programs, and it requires that these training programs make sure that the consumers understand that this particular portable electronic device may be covered by, for example, your homeowner's coverage, so that you're not going out and really over-insuring this electronic device. And we feel that this is very important consumer protection for the consuming public, in that you don't go out and over-insure and really pay for something that you don't need. And that's one of the reasons why we've come to you with this bill today, that we feel that this is not only good consumer protection, but it's good consumer legislation, that people, before they buy a product, they have a full and complete understanding of what those coverages are. The bill, as Representative Solem said, it's a 10-page bill, and it's somewhat daunting when you get a 10-page bill, but it's basically can be boiled down to the comments that were made by both Representative Solem and myself. We feel that this legislation that is brought to you here today is meaningful legislation, providing a regulatory oversight without significant cost to either the regulators, the industry, or the consumers. We understand, in bringing this legislation to this particular legislature, that there has been a concern about overregulation and the cost of regulation to the business community, and that was a discussion we had with the Division of Insurance, and they understand that this is meaningful consumer legislation, but they feel that they can this type of regulatory authority can be imposed without significant cost either to the state or to the consuming public, or quite importantly to the sellers of these electronic devices. As I've indicated, we worked hand in glove with the Division of Insurance to bring this bill to you in the form that it has been, that you find it here today. It very successfully passed through the Senate, and we would ask for your favorable consideration of this bill. I will be happy to answer any questions, and I'll be here to answer those questions if I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. We will move forward with further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 115. Proponent testimony? Seeing none, we will move on to opponent testimony on Senate Bill 115. Opponent testimony. I seem to have the charm. Seeing no opponent testimony, Representative Solem, do you want to make a final comment? Okay.
No.
At this time, I'll open it up to committee questions. Any questions?
Yes, Representative.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Duncan.
Thank you.
I think this is a friendly question also, but they're on pages 7. It starts at the bottom, 8 and 9. You have a bunch of fees listed in there. Is that necessary to list those fees and amounts in? And if it is, are we going to have to come back sometime later and maybe adjust these fees?
Madam Chair, when you start looking at Section 15, there is only one new section in that, and that's subsection small I on line 17 of page 9, and that just includes the portable electronics devices, and it would be, the fee would be the $25 fee for the license. It is, of course, the legislature's discretion to either increase or decrease or take fees off, and only the legislature can can either increase or decrease those fees. So in direct answer to your question, if there's ever any change made in this, they would have to come back. The legislature would have to adjust that particular fee probably in conjunction with others.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Any further questions of the committee on Senate Bill 115? We'll now close the public hearing portion of Senate Bill 115 and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Holly moves due pass, seconded by Representative Willitson. Any comments, Representative?
No, I visited with the Division of Insurance to make sure that they didn't have any problems with this, and they said it was no problem at all, and they thought it was a good piece of legislation.
Thank you, Representative. Any further? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the young'uns who are still here who didn't give up on us, I just wanted to put in layman's terms how this affects everybody. Right now, when we go in and buy a cell phone or an iPad or what have you, they offer insurance, but it's not regulated. So this is seeking to put some teeth into our laws so that there's some oversight. If they deny a claim, you guys, we would have some recourse. We could appeal that decision to somebody. Right now, we don't have that option. So that's what this bill is seeking to do in a much more concise fashion than what you heard here today. But thanks for bearing with us.
Thank you, Representative Greenfield, for that enlightening
I do what
session.
I can.
Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is due pass on Senate Bill 115. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble. Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
We had 12 yeas, one excused.
Senate Bill 15 have received a majority of the vote from the members present. Do pass. Representative Greenfield. Representative Greenfield moves consent, seconded by Representative Miller. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Senate Bill 115 is on the consent calendar. And now I will pass the gavel back over. Oh, Representative Holly, would you? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, does this have a monetary issue with this?
Well, I noticed during testimony,
he did talk about a $25 fee for this.
If there is an additional fee, we're going to probably have to bring it to the floor. So if we could withdraw that motion.
Let's get it through the Senate on consent. So maybe they'll agree that it's just bringing them in line with the others.
Well, if
well, there is a license fee that's being imposed on a new product of $25. Tradition or the practice has been that it's not eligible for consent because there is a fee involved. So I think it's probably subject to being pulled for consent based on that basis.
Well, we'll continue on with the motion then. If everyone has agreed, let it go. We'll see what happens once it gets downstairs.
Boy, you did a slick.
You know, just one observation, Mr. Duncan, about halfway through your testimony, all of the young people left, and I didn't pick up. Was it something you said, or
that didn't happen when I presented the bill on the Senate?
It didn't. Okay, duly noted. We do appreciate that. Thank you very much. With that, that concludes our business for the day. And as such, I would entertain a motion.
Move to adjourn.
the motion to adjourn by Representative Willetson, seconded by Representative Greenfield. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.